Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here for more Hotel That's in California, but it's not explicitly the Hotel California. And wait, is it really named Chutes and Ladders? What are we doing here? Yeah. It's episode 2, Chutes and Ladders. I'm joined again by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slowbeef. Hey, team. How's
Hello.
It going?
Hello.
Get yeah, it? To be clear, thinking about it now, like retrospectively about the episode, there were quite a few shoots. I don't remember any ladders, though. Not, like, even one.
That's, isn't that a heroin thing? Like, you have, like, the ladder, they call, like, the marks or whatever, maybe? Or
Jacob like Tracks?
Tracks is what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah, you're right. No, there's no ladders.
Oh, I take
I
it back.
I think they were just thinking Chutes and Ladders, like the board game for children, and there's
it.
Children in this.
Well, I actually, later in the episode, Sally will say ladder one time. I'm now remembering.
Jacob's Ladder is kind of a horror movie, so
okay.
A couple degrees of Kevin
and
Bacon,
it's
but
about
yeah.
Drugs. It is about mm-hmm. drugs, kind of. So
okay.
Yeah. All right.
I think, but I feel like this is being quite generous to the American Horror Story, I think, team.
I think they should have gone like, with Sorry, but yeah.
I feel like this is a pareidolia type situation where we're seeing faces where they just aren't, because that's how our brain is wired. But yeah, it's called Chutes and Ladders, which is neither here nor there. I actually, you know what? Now that Ty has said it out loud, it probably is just, hey, there's kids in this episode. They like games. Chutes and Ladders is a game, and there's chutes in this episode. So,
I mean, and they do make all the vampire childlets like look like little fancy lads that love berries and cream. And like, that's the kind of kid who Chutes and Ladders is the peak of entertainment. That's like Ball in a Cup co-op.
But like, you know, like, I mean, it's weird too, because like in season 2, didn't they name one episode like Origins of Evil? And so it's like, you know, you phoned it in before. Just do it here rather than make me do this, like, cryptic crossword riddle shit of, like, well, how do our Chutes and Ladders fitting in, you know? But
well, this is what, season 5?
Five.
Were we streaming stuff yet, or was this still airing on TV? I don't remember. I think it was on TV.
2015, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like we weren't streaming just yet, but it was pretty soon, like 2016. Because, like, I did a podcast about this episode on another years and years ago, you know, but not this episode, rather the whole show, but whatever. I was like watching this season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, neither here nor there.
Right.
It was a while ago. Yeah. And I think if it was 2015, that was probably like during the transition period of
right.
switching from everyone watching TV to everyone streaming, because there was a period there where it was like my very tech forward
oh.
friends in college were watching streaming and my mom had no idea what a Netflix was.
I like, see. Yeah, you're right. I understand now.
It might have been in that gap. Yeah.
Yeah. So the episode names probably like were either not super relevant slash people probably didn't know what they were, because if they were watching it on cable TV, nobody looked that up. They just waited for the show to be on. So,
I'm nursing a NyQuil hangover. So like, I thought you meant if we were streaming, like, it was like, oh, this is the plug section of the podcast. I see. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Any of you got a cool stream event coming up or anything? So,
always.
Yeah.
Every day of my life. Yeah.
No, the other kind of streaming.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah. This, can I just say the opening scene of this episode? For every time Sally's on screen, it's confusing, but this specifically was the most confusing part of it all. So it opens, the show opens with Sally. By the way, in case we haven't already said, because I don't remember, because I'm just lost in the haze of this episode, this was a 71-minute long episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot happens. Nothing and a lot happens simultaneously. But it starts with Sally, like, smoking in the window, and then she, like, walks back to the mattress inside a hotel room, obviously.
Right.
Walks back to the mattress where Gabriel, the guy who died and was getting railed by the drildo demon,
mm-hmm.
is in the mattress, and he wakes up and he's like, wow, I'm in the mattress. That sucks. And she's like well, it's
like,
your fault.
Like, in the mattress, to be clear. Like, his entire body is stitched up into the mattress. It's just, like, his face is sticking out of a little hole, which, I feel like you do the face first, right?
I would
like,
think.
Like, yeah, you cut that off right away.
I feel like, yeah, it's sort of like, remember in the beginning where there was somebody popped out of the mattress? Here's the origin story of how that comes to be, I guess. Like, so yeah,
is she just putting people in mattresses? Is that the, like, takeaway here? Is that she's putting people in mattresses?
I suppose, because then she's like, this is your own damn fault. I don't really get her vibe here, because then she kisses him, but then she pushes his face in, you know? And then in one of the stranger parts of it, like, she hears these screaming throughout the vents, right? And then she goes to another room where Iris is there to complain to her about the screaming, because Iris is, like, letting the vampire kids drink blood from one of the Swedish girls in the neon cage. And she's like, what are you doing? It's so loud. And it's like, is this like a sitcom? Like, what do you mean you're just going to complain about?
He's like, I could hear the screaming through the darn vents. Yeah, it's like really dumb. And also, a pretty big problem of sound penetration in this hotel is either perfect or none. And it's kind of just a random dice roll, whether you either can hear someone like taking a piss four rooms away. You're like, damn, is someone frying chicken in room 37? Or you just can't hear anything. Like, a guy can be screaming a foot away from your head and does not register. And there's, like, no in between.
Right. All right. And then Sally, like, did you forget there's, like, a cop staying here now? Which I think is supposed to be, let's catch the audience up a little bit. Then Iris is like, he went to work for the day. And then one of the kids
no,
is like,
this- no other guests would care about this, by the way. The other guests yeah, actually, the screaming, they would be cool with it. But that cop, he would hate it, specifically.
That's a good
Luckily,
point.
Well,
yeah.
It's not like they can... It's not like they can leave. The whole premise is if you can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave. What do you mean he's at work? What?
Yeah, they
we
could
didn't
just ghost
think that far.
We should have just ghost disappeared him on day one and saved ourselves some trouble. Yeah, actually, but
why did we let him go to the station? What are we doing?
Sally, shouldn't you have stitched him in? Why aren't you on top of that? Ah, but And then, but he's at work for the day. And then one of the kids is like, her blood tastes like crap. And it's like, ah, she died. Jeez. But
yeah, she's been dead for like maybe 2 seconds, maybe, when they're like, stinky, blood tastes bad. I'm like, your heart would still be beating, I think, at that point. Like, does it just immediately turn into like poison the second your heart stops beating? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
And then there's the question of like, okay, is it just a case of like you really need all of the blood to be constantly circulating and like you crave that freshness? But it's not that, because they purposefully extract blood, put it in a little bottle, and then drink it later after it has been thoroughly oxidized. So I have no clue what their problem is.
And Lady Gaga and her like paramour like murder people and then drink from their dead bodies specifically, which later she'll say don't drink from dead people, and I'm like, but that's what you do, that's your whole deal.
Yeah,
that's your whole deal.
Yeah,
you have like a nasty gauntlet that you slice people up with. That's your whole thing.
I think like it's supposed to be you can't like drink from people who already died of other causes to make vampire, you know what I mean? Like, so there's no like little vampire like out, you know what I mean? Like, oh well, I'll just go wait for someone else to I'll go to the morgue or something, and that way I don't have to be evil. Like, no, you have to get fresh blood. But it's not like there's no supernatural thing where it's like, oh, the instant there's brain death, that blood's disgusting then. Jeez, what do you
also,
you know?
Also, like, they don't really have anything to worry about, right? Like, the whole idea of, like, oh, what if they just took care of their problem without being, like, super evil about it? It's like, well, they are being super evil about it right now and facing, like, no repercussions for it. I mean, it seems right. Like the repercussions is everyone keeps going, wow, they're so hot right now, as they, like, kill everybody. It's dumb.
So,
these are the
yeah.
special vampires that are very hot but very stupid and also have like real bad stats, just like real dog water
yeah,
stats.
They're awful. They're the worst vampires. Sorry, what?
Yeah, it also seems like they pretty clearly are like in it for the love of the game more than anything else, mm-hmm. and like clearly revel in it and like, you know,
yeah.
fuck in it and all that. So like having this whole thing of like, you're not allowed to be a nice vampire. You have to be fucking nasty. It's like, you don't really have, you can just have them be implicitly nasty. That's okay.
Yeah.
So and here's my I don't know, maybe this is what they were going for, but this is being quite generous to American Horror Story. I think the idea is that it's a metaphor for like drug use or having an addiction, because later we'll find out that also like the detective was an alcoholic. So everybody has some kind of a vice, and like vampirism like is like the greatest illustration of a vice of like needing to drink blood, but it is a thing that causes harm to other people and potentially yourself, etc., etc. But unfortunately, that is lost in the whirlwind of horny.
It's kind of a poor one in my opinion too, because vampires actually do need blood to survive. Like, you know what I mean? And like, I'll maybe grant you that Lady Gaga and whoever she's with, or the Countess, you know, are like, you know, indulgent in
you
it.
You can just say Lady Gaga. Yes, it's fair. Fine. I get ya.
But like, you know, but still, like, it's like, this isn't a thing like, I wish I could stop drinking blood, but I'm compelled to. It's like, no, I need to eat. Like, this is just how it is now. This is my trade for old age, like immortality. Oh, well. So, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think it is possible they did that metaphor. It just sucks.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying I think that's why they picked vampires, but then they realized vampires were too OP in most other ways, so they made them really shitty vampires.
Yeah.
That's fair, the
classical vampire is like literally a metaphor or construction of fiction about the rich and the aristocratic draining from the poor and the people below them. Like, that's why it's always, you know, a count in a big castle, or I don't know, a countess who has a very explicitly fancy room in a hotel. So like, I get what they're going for there. It's just, they just thoroughly don't land it at all.
It also is very likely that American Horror Story historically and even currently loves to check boxes for like tropes. They're like the Dead by Daylight of TV. They like to like check tropes off of like, oh, well, we haven't done a werewolf yet. Oh, well, what other horror stuff is there? Have we done robots? Vampires are scary, right? Like 28 Days a Night or whatever.
Right.
They love checking off boxes. And for some reason, they were like, hey, remember The Shining and also the movie Seven? What if vampires were in that? Would that be anything?
But like, you know, and again, I'll just complain about it once more. It's like, just steal vampires directly then, because these vampires are terrible. Like, they you can kill them however. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even, I think you can see their reflection in mirrors even. Like, they're just like, we drink blood and we like to kill people. It's like, okay, well, you're just psychopaths maybe then, you know?
You're just
like,
goths. Yeah, you're just weird goths.
Being in the sun won't kill you, but it'll sap your vitality. I'm like, yeah, that's called being Irish. Like, get in line. that's every day of my fucking life. I'm not a vampire. I'm just very white. Come on.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing is like, I think American Horror Story, some other media does it too, but I feel like American Horror Story is particularly bad about it across all of their seasons, is like not realizing that flaws also are what make certain tropes endearing. So like, they don't understand that, like, no, the being like can't go in the sun bit, like, that's part of it. Like, that's part of like the lore of like vampires, and that's why people like it, ?
Yeah, it's like they're forced to be in the cool nightclub life. Like, that's their zone, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, partially they have to. They don't really have a choice. They can't just go out into a park and throw a frisbee with a dog. That's just not an option they have.
If they were like, El Chupacabra can just be in Wisconsin whenever it wants, like, then it's like, well, that sounds like maybe it's not El Chupacabra then. That sounds like it's a different thing. A less cool thing in Wisconsin that looks maybe a little bit like El Chupacabra. Could just be a hairless dog. We don't know.
Agnetha, which I only know because the Prime like X-ray thing told me. But Agnetha dies. So Liz Taylor is now wheeling her away on a gurney that they have with like a sheet over and stuff. And the maid's like, oh, these sheet stains, I'm never going to get them out. But she loves stains, we find out later.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's like so horny for stains. I don't know why she's complaining. We find out later she's like really horny for stains.
She loves doing laundry.
She loves it.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, and then they dump her body in the laundry chute. And like, you know, there's, she falls on like a, so her body falls on like this pile of bodies or body parts, kind of hard to see. So one of them you identify is your friend Alex, but I thought this was him as that body that came out of the mattress in the first episode, maybe that one, or
yeah, I
like,
guess
I thought
it runs
that...
into the, it runs into the same issue both ways,
yeah.
Of, so to be clear, in episode one, the very first thing that happens when they find the stinky mattress and they open it, the like rotting guy pops out, that's also mm-hmm. Alex Ward,
right?
Yeah,
and who is the drill dough monster. And in this scene, when they dump the other Swiss girl down the chute, hence chutes and ladders, she falls on a pile of bodies, and one of them in full view, like in front of the camera, is clearly
Alex
Ward. There is no mistaking
yeah.
him. Mm-hmm. And he is kind of like decomposing. He's like missing an arm. So here's, there's like only a few options here. The first option, which is insane and stupid, would be that they expect us, the audience, people who don't know who Alex Ward is and don't know what he looks like and aren't friends with him, to make the connection that, oh, that guy's pretty tall, so he's probably the drill dough monster, which is an insane thing to make a
yeah.
connection of. And then the other option yeah. is that means they just wanted him to be two separate monsters, and they made the drill dough monster faceless so that they could just have Alex Ward play both of those monsters.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to hire one really good monster actor. And, like, to their credit, Alex has enough talent to be two monsters and a corpse. Hell, I bet it could be three monsters.
yeah,
at the
that's
same
what he
time,
does. That's what Alex
yeah,
does.
That's what he does. He's great at it. But, yeah, I think it's just a case of they're like, eh, what, no one's going to be able to place that this guy's incredible. Incredible monster actor Alex Ward. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, there's no way that anybody would make that connection. And to be fair, no one would. It's just that, like, I know that guy, so I know that it's both guys. which brings into question, are the American Horror Story writers just really, really bad at their job, or did they just not want to hire two actors? He's a corpse on the ground. And they don't hide it like at all. But then even let's pretend we don't know who Alex Ward is, and that's just a guy, and we recognize him as the guy from the first episode who popped out of the mattress. What does that mean? Why is the mattress guy down the chute now? Was he alive and then now he's not, and now he's been tossed down the mattress chute? Like, what's his deal? Why was he in the mattress then?
I don't know what. What does the mattress do to people? Because clearly Sally was like, get in the mattress, you like sewing him in, but like, to what end?
I think it's nothing, and that they wanted to have the mattress jump scare to start the season, and then they're like, we should explain this somehow. So they just have Sally sewing him in the second episode to be like, well, that answers that. That is generally what I think it is.
It
I don't know for
but
sure.
Like, they're like, our job is done here.
Yeah.
We explained it.
It's what do they call it? Lampshading? You know what I mean? Where it's like, well, it's a little silly, but yeah, she puts people in mattresses and sometimes they pop out. Gotcha. You know? Like.
And then I guess she kills them afterwards and puts them in the chute that goes down to the basement? Who can say?
Wait, yeah. Well, I guess because is he dead already from the overdose? Or did the addiction demon kill him? Or we don't know, I guess. I guess he's just having a rough time, yeah. So maybe he's just being sewn in
the
mattress.
Oh, that would be crazy. Because that implies that the Alex from the mattress got killed by the Alex with the drill dough. That's insane.
That's very insane if you really follow that implications, which I won't. So
incredibly meta.
Because we got, yeah, because then I'm like... many floors up, I suppose. So Iris then, I guess, is now going to the Tetris room where all the kids...
Yeah, now we get the dumb fuck reveal of why they are keeping a bunch of weird little vampire children. And it's to take their blood? So apparently the Countess likes to have her blood filtered through children and then drinks that. And that's it.
Why?
That's literally it. Is that they want to have it be this like they're vampires, but they only steal blood from children. And it's like, I don't know, maybe this would have hit a little different earlier on, but right now there is literally a booming fucking industry of young blood transfusions all over the world, especially in America. So, like, there's a bunch of rich freaks trying to take blood from the young to stay immortal forever is like, yeah, I know. It's $8,000 for a 2-liter dose. I looked it up. It's called Ambrosia. It's bullshit. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Also, not to be the rules guy, but, vampires don't like have blood like that. That's not like part of it. They're dead.
In like some vampire fictions, I've even seen they do a thing where like if a vampire tries to feed on another vampire, it like puts them into a permanent thrall under the one they tried to feed off of. Like it's a really bad idea. It's generally agreed that vampires can't just suck each other off because otherwise they're not threatening. They're just people having sex a lot.
Yeah,
just keep
making more vampires, and then everyone's a vampire, and everyone like has a good time.
Or like, you know, I mean, Interview with a Vampire establishes too. It's terrible to make child vampires because they like grow up mentally when they're stuck in this child's body thing. But that's never explored here because they're just children vampires. So they have to like invent this weird reason thing, like of okay, what if they drink the blood? But you could transfuse the blood out of them after it's gone through their vampire livers, I guess, to make really good blood that you put in a decanter, I guess, to remove the sediment like you do with old wine. None of this is working, but what the hell?
Dish called? Where you eat the calf of the liver of a calf specifically?
Foie gras.
Yeah, foie gras, but it's vampires.
But you know what? Actually, like, killing the kids and just eating their... Like, that would have been a horrific thing she could do that would make her, like, a better villain or something. But instead, we have this, like, convoluted, incredible machine of blood happening. You know, like a Rube Goldberg blood thing where it's, like, 8 steps later, like, this blood's the good shit. This will keep me immortal. Which, by the way, keeping her immortal is already happening by drinking regular blood, so I don't know.
Yeah. Also, you mentioned Interview with a Vampire establishes why child vampires are bad. I'll go one step further. Notoriously reviled vampire media, Twilight, even establishes that child vampires are bad. In fact, the last 3 books of the franchise and movies are about how child vampires are real bad and no one should do them. And when one shows up, like it throws the whole vampire world into like a tizzy because vampire children are like young snakes where they do too much damage because they don't know how to rein it in. They don't know how to control their bloodlust and whatnot like an adult would. It is in almost every media, even the most silly ones with the most silly vampire rules are like, hey, kid vampires are not good. Don't make kid vampires. It's not good for anybody. It's bad for everyone.
Even for the vampires, famously, the only kid vampires that like have a long-lasting impact are like the son of Dracula deciding, I gotta kill Dracula. Like, that's really it. Like, he either is like a radical vampire kid who skateboards and hates his dad in the old Captain N, or he's Alucard, who does everything he can to kill his dad. So, like, stop making vampire kids. They don't like it either.
Nobody likes vampire kids except for Lady Gaga. But alas, that's not the end of the mommy issues because, they get the blood, right? And then it's Donovan time. Donovan is sparse through this episode, and every time we see him, he's mad, which is fair, honestly. He got evicted, kind of. They still live in the hotel, for what it's worth. They still live in the hotel somehow.
Oh, God, right. The hotel got bought. Spoiler, that doesn't come up at all this episode. Holy shit, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're right. So they're still there, right? Because then, look, after Iris delivers this decanter of blood to Gaga and her son, Donovan, who is like, ugh, you know, Gaga's like, you still seem to hate that woman, meaning her. And then she wants to go to, she's like, I want to go see like this art show happen. And he's like, how about we just stay here and binge House of Cards, which is like such an eye roll thing because it's like, oh, it was a popular show that was on Netflix. Oh, it was on Netflix, actually, like during this show. So, you know, You know, and it's like, this is 10 years later, so this isn't topical at all. So, whatever.
Also,
good
Kevin
job.
Spacey.
There's that too, right? It like, just didn't age well. That's one of those collar pull moments, like, well, I guess they couldn't have seen that coming, but who the hell, whatever. So then,
surely Bill Cosby will be a gentleman and an ideal father figure for time immemorial.
Oh, jeez. But,
he mentions like, hey, let's just laze around, babe. I don't want to go out to an art show and like kill people. Cause she explicitly is like, I want to go hunting. I want to kill someone. And he's like, I'm tired. Yeah. And so she just kind of does like a little bit of a back and forth, but ends with the very distinct, I got to break up with this guy face because he didn't want to go murder for one night. Apparently like that's enough. It's over. Yep. So she goes to the art show, and it is apparently the fucking gala at the streetlight factory because it is literally just like a streetlight every 2 feet with like little gaps in between them. And I think it's supposed to be an art show, but it is just the streetlight factory. Like it's just a bunch of streetlight. I don't know. It looks like a place of industry to me, not high art, but I guess that's why I'm a working man.
And theme song. So that's the intro with like a lot of little things. So then the episode starts.
All of that was pre-theme song. Just to be clear, mm-hmm. This is a 71-minute long episode, and all of that was pre the theme song playing.
So we cut to the wife of detective who, as you remember, is a doctor who makes house calls. And for some reason, she's treating a child, and the mom is like, oh, I looked some stuff up on WebMD. I think it's this. And she's like, it's not that. Stop looking at the internet. And then she walks outside and goes, your son has measles, and I can't believe you didn't vaccinate him, and now he has measles. Don't you feel bad? And she's like, well, a vaccine, and then repeats a bunch of lies that I just don't feel like discussing about vaccines because they're simply not true. And then I guess she shames the mom. I don't know why we made up a fictional bad mom to own, but like we did. So that happens, I guess.
Twice!
Moving on.
Just to be clear, we've only seen House Doctor MD Alex Lowe two times so far. Once was at her own house, and then once is here. And both times she's like, fucking anti-vaxxers. Like, she keeps having to treat anti-vaxxers, and she's staunchly anti-anti-vaxxer. And it's like, maybe vet your like patients better, dude. You have an O
like,
for two.
Start working at a hospital or something.
Maybe the only people hiring a doctor that comes to their house are anti-vaxxers. Maybe you should look into like the Venn diagram of that, because it seems like for someone who is so adamant that she will not treat children who are not vaccinated, you've got a really bad track record of only treating children who
aren't vaccinated.
Hey, listener, are you wondering how this ties into the broader plot of American Horror Story Hotel? Anyway, back at the hotel.
John is sleeping on a bed. He has a little wake up, and there's static on the TV, which I think they're like supposed to be like, that's scary, but it just static means you need to fix the antenna,
right?
I don't know. I guess I grew up with an antenna in the country, so I just see static and I'm like, oh, gotta go fix that. Be right back. And then the maid comes in and is like, hey, do you want turn down service? And he's like, no. And then the drill dough demon appears over his head. Like, he lies back down, looks up at the ceiling, and then there's just the funny drill dick over his head. And he's like, what the heck? And then it's gone. He walks into the bathroom, washes his hands, and has like the classic, I think there's a killer in the shower vibe, which, yeah, correct. That's why you don't leave your shower curtains closed, because otherwise the human mind is just like, there's a wolf in there. That's just how the human mind operates. So he looks into a mirror and sees the shower curtain closed behind him and goes, fuck, there's a wolf in there. And then slowly walks back and pulls it to the side. And there's just like a zombie couple fucking in there. And they kind of like gesture at him like, you want in on this? And then he wakes up.
We like, noticed your vibe from across the bar, but it's just two zombies fucking in my shower.
Really just like pound town slamming against the wall, just slapping hams too, like very inelegant fucking. And then just like, hey, you want in on this, man? And he's like, oh my God, a zombie asked me to bang. This is the worst nightmare I've ever had. It's like, I know people who would pay good money for that nightmare, young man.
I regret to inform this is probably a ripoff of The Shining. There's like a zombie lady in a bathtub in one of the haunted rooms that like tries to bang the main character.
But why would they? Yeah, but they don't actually have sex in The Shining. Like they kiss and he's horrified to discover. But wouldn't it be scarier if they were just banging doggy style? You know? And then the guy turned for a high five and John wakes up and like, it was all a dream. Like, wouldn't that be better?
Yeah, also, not only are they ripping off The Shining in this scene, but they do the thing that I hate when movies and TV do this, where it's like, oh, you thought he woke up from the nightmare? Psych, idiot, it's another nightmare. He didn't wake up the first time.
We already improved vampires. How are we going to make The Shining into 5 stars? Dream within a dream banging. There you go.
Oh my God.
Inception cowgirl, we call it. All right, so.
So then he wakes up for real, assumedly this time, and sees his little lad who loves berries and cream, Holden, at the end of the hallway, and then starts like sprinting after him. I'm with Liz. I think I would assume this was also a dream at this point, particularly because the kid beats his fucking ass in a foot race. Like, this is like one step over a toddler. Like, what? Yeah. Like, maybe 6, 7 years old?
Yeah.
I think he's like, I think they said he's 3 when he got zapped or got taken. I think he was 3.
Yeah. So, like, a real little guy. And I don't mean to brag. I could outrun a 3-year old.
Yeah. I think. No, yeah. You absolutely can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. You know, I've been training to work on my 10K, not to brag, but I'm pretty sure I could run faster than a toddler.
You know.
And I would like to think a detective could too, but I guess not.
I mean, your strides, like anyone's, and any adult's strides are like the size of them. You know what I mean? Like, you can do it. It's not hard. Like, believe me, I've had to chase kids. They're not, because I have to. That sounded weird. But like, you know, they're not that tough.
To clarify, I had to chase my kids when they ran off at like a supermarket or something. Got on a carousel and revolved to the other side of it for a second.
Right, but... Let's see, you know, yeah. So, let's see, yeah. So it. So then, like, yeah. Then the kid gets Holden's gone again because you know what I guess. And then
yeah, like he chases him all the way to the lobby and like doesn't see him at all after the first like split second of seeing him, which is just like crazy. Like you'd stop running before you got all the way down to the lobby. But I digress.
Can I just interject for a second to say we probably won't get to it today, but there's going to be a point in the next half of this episode that his daughter, the alive child, is going to be like, I saw my brother in the hotel, and he's going to be like, no, you fucking didn't. And I'm like,
oh my God, you're right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
You've seen him like 5 times. What do you mean? Why are you being so mean
to
her?
That was literally the impetus for him checking in is like, there was a crime, comma, I saw my son. Yeah.
I just want to plant that seed for next time. If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.
What a fucking butthole! You're right. What a jerk! Holy shit! What an asshole! Like he straight up is just like, "Fuck you, daughter. What's wrong with you? Why would you say that? I'm gonna hit you with like a rock." It's crazy.
That scene was so aggravating for so many reasons, and that's just like that's the big thing I didn't even notice. But yeah, oh my God.
Oh man. So yeah, he runs down into the lobby, and then nobody is there. Sally kind of just walks up to him and is like, hey, it's like weird and fucked up in this hotel. If you haven't noticed, you want to sit down at the bar? And then he sits down at the bar. And then like when Liz Taylor asks him what he wants to drink, he's just like, and Sally's like, he's a He's like Alcoholics Anonymous or something.
Recovering alcoholic. He's in recovery.
Yeah, recovering alcoholic. Thank you. Yeah. That's the term I was looking for. Yeah, recovering alcoholic. And she like pins him for it right away. And so Liz Taylor like pours him a ginger ale, which also like, I don't know. I've had a couple friends who just like stop drinking. It's not like a thing you can like smell on them. They just kind of don't drink.
As someone who doesn't drink anymore either, like ginger ale's not like a default drink for like anyone.
Only airplanes. Ginger ale's only the default if you're on an airplane. Everyone knows this.
Correct.
Right. Sally's like, he's a recovering alcoholic, and I think he's probably nauseous and has a stomach ache. So, gotcha.
His tummy hurts. He just ran a big ways. He did a big run. Right.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, first of all, I'm not a hooker. And second of all, everything was great before heroin, which, you know, okay, fair. But then she's like, "What? Now that's enough. That's my backstory. What about you, John? What's your deal? What was your life? Like, tell me about." What did she say? Like, tell me about your last day drinking.
She explicitly says, and because it's so bizarre, tell me about your last drunk.
That's it.
Which isn't like a phrase anyone says. It's like crazy. Like, if she said, "Tell me about the last time you got drunk." Sure, and that's what he goes on to describe is the last time he got drunk in a moment of desperation. And she instead, though, says, "Tell me about your last drunk. I love details." Which, like,
yeah, she says, "I love details." I'm like, yeah, most people do. That's like the hallmark of a good story is like it has details. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a story. It would just be him being like, "I drank alcohol." That's it. That's
got
the
real sad.
Yep.
I drank a drink. He goes on to tell her about the last time he got drunk, which is wild because she makes it sound like he was an alcoholic. But what he describes, I guess, would be like something that probably most people who have a job like that makes you look at really traumatic stuff all the time. You would have a drink probably at the end of the day after something like this. It's not like he whipped out a flask on the crime scene or something.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, the last day I drank. And he says, the last day I drank was when I worked a double homicide. And what he's about to describe could not be further from a double homicide if they tried to make it not a double homicide. So first of all, a double homicide implies that two people were killed.
Two.
Yeah. There's roughly six dead people at this crime scene, and then later we're going to find out it's not even a homicide. So, like, why is he lying? Why did he lie at the beginning of this story?
So what it is there's a bunch of people dead in the house, and it looks like it was poisoning, I guess, which it doesn't really. And then one guy with a headshot wound, and they were like, yeah, we think he poisoned all of them and then took himself out. And then it's like, it turns out he actually needed to leave to work to get more money so that they could pay for a good heater because they only had a little space heater and they turned it on inside of the house and then turned on a little generator to give them power. And I think they're implying that like he ran a gas generator in an enclosed space, which you don't have to bring the generator inside. That's what? Why would you do that? That's
Yeah, so this guy
you
was
worried
just...
that are you worried the generator's gonna get cold? What are you doing?
This guy's just really, really dumb. But yeah, also this is another example of like Sherlock Holmes here walking into a crime scene and finding the most obvious answer that it's a pure miracle no other crime scene people on scene noticed yet is the fuck off huge generator in the dining room that's inside the house. Like, nobody noticed that until he showed up. It's like it's the little super glue bottle all over again. Thank God John's
also
here.
None of the detectives like walk in and start having like the worst fucking migraine of their goddamn life and like start suffocating and being like, huh, something's up here. So there's something not normal going on in this house, I think.
And then like I still don't really get the connection between that and I have to get really drunk right now. You know what I mean? Like
he saw all of that and he was like, I just think about how bad it would be to lose a kid. Like, that's what it's supposed to be, is him having this, like, it's so hard. He killed himself because he failed at being a dad. It's so hard to be a dad. Like, that's what it is.
I say.
And then he's like, I felt so bad and realized how hard it was to be a dad. I was out too late, so in an attempt to make it up to my wife, I took the kids out to the boardwalk, I think.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, I took them out so that it would help make up for it. And then the worst thing in the world happened. And that's when his child got taken away at the boardwalk. And so he's like, yeah, I saw a horrible string of murders, clearly didn't fully understand them, and then lost my kid. And then I had one beer. And she's like, yep, happens to everyone.
Yeah. Also, like, he tacks on the thing about losing his own kid afterwards as though it is part of the getting drunk story. Like, that was what made him stop, is, like, him being drunk was the impetus for losing the child. That was, like, the day before, though. Like, if you're still drunk that much later, something is wrong. Your liver's not working. Like, something is bad.
And, like, wouldn't it be better if he was a real alcoholic and, like, snuck a drink and then lose the kid, and then you're like, okay, yeah, this would get you to,
Also, he clearly wasn't drunk
when
the kid got taken. Like, he was very aware. Like, he had a quick reaction and was like, oh, fuck, and then quickly sprung into action. Like, he was not even a little drunk.
Right. It makes no sense. They're, like, kind of taking a path around the, like, Occam's razor easier story here. Yeah, like, it's like, ah, geez. And then, like, I'm sorry if that happened too. Probably not the day you quit drinking. You know what I mean? Like, you have, like, your thing, you look for your missing kid, and then it's like, I'm going to need a fucking drink, you know? I mean, it's like, holy shit, my kid's gone, but whatever. It's, you know.
Yeah.
So.
So we cut back to the station, and one of the cops, because of course, John simply leaves Hotel California to go to work. He just walks out.
Yep.
One of the cops lets him know, hey, that thing you said where that guy, even though he was all, like, fucked up and had his eyeballs and tongue taken out and all that, how he, you know, his willy was still hard, how he had a full fucking Flagstaff going the whole time? Yeah, you're right. There were erectile dysfunction drugs in him. That's crazy. And he's like, oh, thanks. He's like, yeah, well, they still have him in, like, an induced coma because we cut his wiener off and no one really knows how to tell him because it wasn't necessary. And John's just like, oh, okay, I guess. And then they just, like, as he's walking in, then, like, another guy comes in and is like, hey, someone sent you a package. It's ticking. Is that good? Hey, detective, someone sent this to you. You want it? You want to open it here in the middle of the police station? And it's like, what are you doing? I just saw a mysterious package and figured I'd bring it inside.
So anonymous package to one of our detectives who is actively being hunted by a serial killer.
Right? It's so ridiculous. Because, he calls her a bomb squad. And they cut the bomb squad opening up, and it's like a statue. It's all bloody. I guess it's like the murder weapon from the other murder. And some cop makes fun of him for it. You know, it's like, you know, look what it was. You were not. That's no bomb I've ever seen. Like, you idiots.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing is, the bomb squad guys, like, they open it up and they're like almost like, not a bomb, ridiculous. And it's like, what's in there? It's like way more. Like, if you were a bomb squad guy and you opened it and there was a bomb, you'd go, like, great, I know this one. If you open a box and there's, like, a fucking cut up corpse in it and, like, a bloodied Grammy or whatever, like, you're not gonna be like, well, this isn't a bomb, so now I'm just upset.
John, I keep telling you, don't call me for anything less than a black ball with a big wick coming out of it, okay?
If you don't think Bomber Man would have put it on the ground, don't call me.
He even says something to the effect of, like, it's not a bomb, but we can take it outside and blow it up if you want.
Yeah, he's just like, we can go detonate it if you want.
The bomb squad guy actually kicks ass. I think we need more of him. Oh, I love bomb squad guy. He's my favorite character. Now it's time to introduce another character and have an insane sequence. At the Hotel Cortez, remember how a fashion guy bought it? If you didn't, now you do. And he's hosting a fashion show at his hotel. And then a Vogue lady, I don't know if she's like a a writer or what, but she works for Vogue.
Like a producer for Vogue of some form, yeah.
Yeah, named Claudia, who's played by Naomi Campbell. So I guess they at least picked someone, like, topical. Shows up and she's friends with Will, and, like, the first thing she does is start hitting on John, and in, like, roughly 2 seconds, more people will hit on John, and, like, John's fine. Like, he's okay looking. It is weird that, like, everyone looks at him and is like, whoa. Fuckable, frankly. But yeah, John's daughter, who I forgot the name of until later, named Scarlett, gets dropped off at the hotel, which is not what you would probably do if you were trying to keep them away from the murderer. Seems like you wouldn't want to drop your... It's not like they got divorced and this is like joint custody. He left to put himself away from his wife and daughter to keep them safe.
But now that you say it, like, once again, wouldn't that have just been easier for everyone, like, in the script, just to be like, why don't you have them get divorced? The common thing when they lose a kid or whatever, and then you could explain this part as the custody part. You know, like, it would make more sense than, yeah, this totally unnecessary, like, stay with your father who's being hunted by a serial killer this weekend, okay?
Yeah. I say, because, like, they have so many interactions that would just make you assume they're divorced. Like,
I know.
Calling and talking to the daughter and being like, hey, does your mom want to talk at all? And then, no, mom doesn't want to talk to you ever. Like, that's like, we just got divorced kind of talk. That's like, hey, does your mom want to talk yet? No? Okay, great, great, great. Yeah.
Don't so, tell me, yeah. Tell me about your mom's new boyfriend energy.
And then, like, this is ridiculous, too, because Will comes over, right, and he's like, hey, cool, like, John, you brought your daughter. Well, it's a party. She can come, too. And he's like, no, we have a whole day planned. And then the daughter's like, no, but I want to go to the party. And Will is like, yeah, come on, like, let's go. You can sit with my son, Lachlan. And first of all, again, the parent checking in, you have a day planned. Like, there's reservations maybe you've made at something to bring your kid to. Maybe there's stuff you want to do later. Like, you can't just be like, okay, sure, we'll have a party. Like, you have a plan. But I guess not. So they decide, like, okay, sure.
Also, bringing your child in to, like, this wild fashionista party is, like, a horrible idea that, like, any normal parent would be like, no.
Like, yeah, this based on what happens.
This is like a haven for drugs and sex.
Exactly. Yeah.
You'll never guess what happens at this fashion party.
And she, like, and she's, like, a little, she's little to want to be at a party, an adult party in general. You know what I mean? Like, even if it without that, where it's like, whoa, a bunch of grown-ups hanging out having cocktails, I'm in. Like, no fucking way. Like, get out of here. I mean, fortunately for her, they have the big Tetris room upstairs, and she doesn't know that, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah. So, Father of the Year, John, is like, all right, I guess. So... yeah.
We get, like, a weird scene of Sally trying to get into the fashion show, and they're like, you're not on the list. And she's like, but I live here. And I'm like, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
You don't just get to go to stuff because you live there.
Also, are they having the event in, like, the lobby, like, that she's trying to get in, or is it, like...
That's what it seems like, yeah, which, like, hotels do run events and stuff. Like, a lot of them will have conference rooms, meeting rooms, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But not in the lobby.
Right.
Like, that's... The lobby is for receiving guests of the hotel.
Like, is like, the bell guy gonna bring a big thing of suitcases, like, right through the runway or something? You know, people are checking in and everything. Like, you can't have it here. Surely. Why do I know how to run a hotel better than American Horror Story? Whatever.
These people all get to leave.
Yeah, you thought about it.
Just keep that in mind.
Like, right now, like, after a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, all of the people at this... fashion show, I guess we'll call it, because that's what it kind of ends up being. They all get to leave.
They have a catwalk. They have people walking up and down it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just these people treat this like it's a regular building. I just want everyone to remember that in case it comes up in several episodes from now. But yeah, that they get to leave. So Lady Gaga and Donovan are apparently on the list. I guess because Lady Gaga made friends with Will, that's why they're on the list. They see John and also mention how hot John is. And now it's time to introduce a new main character. So we cut to backstage, and it's time to introduce Tristan Duffy, hell of a name. He's played by Finn Whitrock, who was Dandy in the last season.
There's, like, a tiny intro that leads into it where one of the characters is, like, talking to the other of just, like, I think it's John talking to... Naomi Campbell's character, Claudia, and just being like, wow, how this seems so cool. What's, you know, everything's so new and hot. What's going on? And she's like, nah, we actually all are really sick of each other and hate each other. But I did hire this guy who he's so hot right now. He's a wild man. You never know what he's going to do, which is desirable for employment, I guess. And so we meet Tristan Duffy. And he is just slamming cocaine in the back and like gets blood on his outfit, which I feel like is probably the one thing you don't want a model to do is fuck up the clothes, right?
You know what? He's about to do a lot of stuff that I would think is what you quote unquote don't want the model to do. On the runway, I would right. say probably yeah, everything he does is what you don't want the model to do when they come out on the runway.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So he walks out onto the runway, grabs someone's drink and drinks it, and then breaks the glass onto the runway, which like, okay, I could see this being like a, whoa, what zazz, what force. I could see that landing at least. And then he like takes off his scarf, like pulls a couple ladies next to him, and then like makes out with one, tries to, and it was unclear whether it was just like he was trying to make out with a guy and he wasn't into it, or if he was just trying to taunt this guy after he had like made out with his girlfriend or wife or whatever. It's unclear. There's a lot of reasons you don't just grab somebody and start making out with them if you don't know them at all. You know, there's like a lot of ways it could go wrong.
Right, right.
One of which is it's hard to see the clothes you're modeling. In case we forget, he's modeling clothes on a runway currently. It makes it really hard to see the outfit when you're doing all the things he's doing.
And he's also like hunching over and shit. Like it doesn't look good on the clothes either. And yeah, so then he tries to make out with this guy, and the guy's like, hey, cut it out. And they like throw hands a little bit. And to be clear, Tristan, the model, gets his ass beat, like clearly loses the fight, gets thrown backwards and like stumbles and falls on the runway, and then stands up and walks out. And then Lady Gaga's like, wow, he's so hot right now. me seeing a guy get his fucking ass beat after acting like a fucking weirdo and doing bad at his job. Wow, how can I not fuck him?
Yeah. I can't believe he lost with a cocaine buff. Like, imagine losing a fist fight with a cocaine buff against someone who was sitting down. The guy standing lost to the guy sitting down. Just truly L's across the board for Tristan. But yeah, Lady Gaga doesn't just say, oh, he's so hot right now. She says something even fucking weirder, which is, he's so full of rage. I can smell it. And I'm like, I think he's full of cocaine, actually.
You can see he's full of rage, too. Like, you just fought a, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that, like, good. Like, whoa, what a good vampire she is, you know? Like,
whoa, she's so insightful.
I bet she's an empath.
My vampire told me he's bonked out of his mind. Like, wow, Dracula. That's incredible. Like, Jesus.
God, someone seeing two people get into a fight and being like, I'm an empath and I think I can sense tension between
my vampire abilities allow me to sense this. I'm an emotional vampire.
I predict he tries to make out with everyone in his life.
And
so
he does.
Backstage... He goes backstage and he's smashing up what, looks like some like mirtazapine or something. Like it's like very tiny little pills. It's not like one of the traditional, like it's not a Xanax. It doesn't look like any Adderall I've seen. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. And it's certainly not cocaine because cocaine doesn't come in little pills. Like that's not how it's distributed, generally speaking.
It's right. The color of ibuprofen. So maybe he just had a headache and he doesn't know any other way to take medicine.
I do everything hard. Core.
Yeah.
He just grinds up some chapstick, just smears it on his face.
takes a bite out of it. So he's smashing up what could be ibuprofen, and then like someone who works at the show is like, hey, get the fuck back out there. And he goes, hold on just one second. Picks up a razor blade that they just have backstage for some reason at the fashion show. And then slices his face open and is like, I quit. And I'm like, I think you could have just done the second part without the first part. I don't think you had to do the first part. Like, now you just look cooler.
And to be fair, if you don't have a razor blade, how are you going to cut up your ibuprofen, you know? But still,
true.
Yeah.
God, I'm always running into this issue in public. I don't have my ibuprofen razor.
Everyone is always saying this. But, so, like, yeah, Lachlan, what happened? Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah, now we go to Lachlan and Scarlett, who are in the basement of the hotel, right? And he shows her, like, oh, look, here's the empty pool they keep the vampire children, you know? And then, like, this is in the Tetris room when she sees her brother, right? Because he's, like, sitting down or whatever.
No, that's not until
later.
No,
this is where they find the glass caskets.
You're right.
That have the little children in them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're right.
So this is one of the lamest jump scare attempts in history, which is Lachlan taking Scarlett down to the glass caskets. And it's a bunch of little caskets with vampire children resting in them. And Lachlan's like, it's cool. They don't wake up no matter how much you hoot or holler or bang on the lid. I don't know why Lachlan's got this accent now, but he does.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ham on them damn caskets. They won't open up for a damn thing. And then Scarlett walks up and Holden opens his eyes and looks at her. And they do a big horror sting. And I'm like, I'm sorry. There's no amount of horror sting you can put on a baby waking up to make it scary.
And then it's unclear what happens, because then it cuts to her, like, at home watching a video of her and Holden as younger children on a laptop. And it's like, so did she just, like, see Holden and was like, wow, that's crazy. And then just went back upstairs and had the rest of the day normal with her dad and, like, didn't mention it before getting sent home. Like, there's a big chunk of time missing between point A and point B. And in case you're wondering, Liz, how do you know that she's home? How do you know that she's not, like, maybe in a hotel room or something? Because something insane's about to happen after this next scene. And we'll get there in a second. But we have to get back to Truffle Pig Tristan, who can smell cocaine, evidently. Because he's gone all the way up to the penthouse where Lady Gaga lives, because he allegedly smells cocaine, and he's looking for it. I don't know that that's how that works, but I don't have a lot of cocaine experience, frankly. And then I think Donovan's just in there, or he comes in, one of the two, and he's like, hey, can you stop fucking tearing up this room, dude?
Yeah, I think he was just like hanging out watching House of Cards or whatever. Yeah.
But he was downstairs with Lady Gaga, which is why it's confusing. And then he's like, can you stop fucking up our house? And he's like, I'm looking for cocaine. And then he like drops a weird reference. He's like, I'm going to be in a Lars von Trier movie next year. I don't know who the fuck that reference is for. Like, Lars von Trier wasn't even like super big in 2015. So I don't know who the fuck that's for.
It's a little nod for all the deep horror freaks watching American Horror Story season 5.
Yeah.
Which I guess fair. But
yeah. Like, they're like, we know like existential horror. We know like real obscure shit. Here's a weird name drop. Also, like, maybe I don't think you are, Tristan. You just did a bunch of cocaine and then got in a fight.
I bet they wanted to, like, steal some Lars von Trier shit for American Horror Story. They couldn't figure out how, so they would just put a reference in. It's fine. We can't squeeze this in somehow.
It's like
a weird
warning shot to Lars von Trier. They're like, we're aware of you. You're not safe either. We're stealing from The Shining right now, but you're not safe.
It's like when... It's like when like a food reviewer who like a bunch of streamers make fun of like calls them out at the beginning and is like, happy birthday. I fucking perceive you, you little shit.
Yeah.
He's probably, yeah, Lars von Trier's probably like, that show is garbage. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, here's your reference.
Well, watch out. We're going to take your shit. We're going to take your points. he also like Tristan's like, I'm in here because I smell cocaine, and then he's like running around like knocking records off a shelf and stuff, and it's like, I don't think you do smell cocaine because you're like nowhere where it is.
That's who comes in. It's not Donovan. It's we'll get there. He's gonna go into a different room in a second. So he just leaves because I guess he doesn't find the cocaine that he allegedly smelled. And he gets on an elevator that I guess the hotel is sentient and can decide where he goes, because it sends him to the Silent Hill floor where it's all dark. Most of this episode is fucking dark as shit and it's hard to see. There's going to be a flashback sequence in a little while
that's
that was
impossible. Yeah.
Fucking impossible to see.
Yeah.
But he's in the Silent
Hill.
I
literally had to turn my monitor onto high contrast gamer mode to be able to see some of this shit.
Yeah, like if this was a video game and it told you to like adjust the brightness so that you could see the logo, we're not even close to seeing the logo. We're like way in the opposite side.
Yeah, like 30% brighter from personal experience. Yeah.
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 But he's on the Silent Hill level of the hotel, which he doesn't think is weird. And what I mean by that is it's like dark and the lights aren't on, and also there are like babies crying and a speech by Franklin Roosevelt is playing on like a weird record player. And he's like, this is normal. And he walks through the hallway and sees a sandwich on the ground. And then he takes a bite of the sandwich from the ground on the Silent Hill floor and is like, ew, it's got worms in it. And I'm like, I don't know what you were expecting from a sandwich you found on the ground on the Silent Hill floor. That's a you problem. Why did you
even
do that?
If it was- Like, even on a normal floor, you know what I mean? Like, ah, free sandwich. Like, that's not how it, it's not like a video game. Like, you know, like
he thought it was, yeah, I think it was, he was thinking it was like leftovers of someone's food service. Like, they got service to the hotel and then they like left it outside to be cleaned up. But yeah, like,
still,
unless this dude's like Ness from Earthbound, you don't just take a sandwich out of a trash can and eat it.
Yeah.
That's not like acceptable behavior.
Real Stardew Valley ass right here. digging through trash cans and eating it. And then he finally is like, yuck, worm sandwich. And then he goes into a room, which I could not be bothered to look at the door to see if it was room 64. And he's, again, sniffing around for drugs like a truffle pig, which leads me to ask, how is this guy employed? Because this is not a level of junkie that, like, holds a job until now. This is, like, not job-holding behavior.
He's just so beautiful, he can get away with it, I guess.
Yeah, offers only. And then now he gets a new hand touches the beacon, and another main character drops, and it's a real old-timey looking fella, and we'll find out later who he is, but he's played by Evan Peters, and he's got a little tiny mustache, and he's like, hey, buddy, what are you doing in this house? I can tell you're looking for drugs.
He's old-timey, see? He kind of talks like this in a way.
They have him, like, clearly talk as though he was out of the past, and he's dressed up like fucking Walt Disney. And
yeah.
Just like, it's, like, so clear that he's, like, a man from the past, and after getting tricked into eating, like, the ghost sandwich, I think I immediately would be like, okay, this guy's either gonna kill me or try to talk me into killing someone. And, like, you wouldn't believe what happens next!
Exactly. He's like cartoony old guy though too. I hate this character so much. But he's just like, oh yeah, see, like it's ridiculous. But
he talks with the old timey radio voice, which people back then I don't think talked like. They just sounded like that on the radio.
Yeah, but he talks like that. Like it's just.
And if you're wondering if he was a radio guy, the answer's no.
No, not at all.
But aren't you guys so excited to find out what he's going to do next week? What is this weird old-timey guy who's definitely not a ghost going to do?
I will say, the old-timey guy with a ghost does kind of crack me up. I think his influence on the story is going to be largely negative, and I think the show will be worse for having him in it. That being said, he makes me laugh.
That's fair.
He makes me laugh a lot.
Find your
There's
joy.
There's a part where he kills somebody and then is like, ugh, these chandeliers are so fucked. And it's, like, really good.
He's like, what's his name? He's like the little guy from season one who bonks the lady in the face, and he's just a little gremlin who shows up every so often and asks for $5,000.
Right?
Yeah, Larry. He's the Larry of this season.
He's like, he's like Howard. It's like we needed Howard Hughes, but not quite Howard Hughes. So, you know, but he's here. So we'll see him.
Yeah, we'll find out who he is.
And I will say, dear listener, I am so excited to introduce you to this character because I legit. This is like the first time where I'm like, you know what? I like Evan Peters. I'm glad he's having fun. Well, till next time, folks. Thanks for listening, and look forward to the rest of Chutes and Ladders, where we find out where the ladders are. For sure. It definitely comes up.
God. Forgot that was
Bye.
The
Bye.